This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, we meet a singer who cannot return to the country she was born in, and so she learned the language, Somali, to travel there musically.
First, we're going to Berlin, Germany, and the city's famed Tempelhof Airport. It was a symbol of Nazi techno achievement after Adolf Hitler took power. That was 75 years ago this week. And later, Tempelhof was a lifeline for the city during the Berlin airlift.
Now, Tempelhof is being replaced by a big international airport on the city's outskirts. As Kyle James reports from Berlin, many residents are not ready to let go.
Private jets and a few smaller commuter flights are about the only air traffic that Tempelhof sees these days. This airport, with its monumental terminal and office building in the heart of Berlin, is just a shadow of its former self. At one time, Adolf Hitler wanted this huge building with over 3 million square feet of floor space to awe visitors to his planned world capital. Then it took on a new role, one in the very center of the Cold War.
This is a story of the Berlin airlift, the operation carried out by the Royal Air Force and the United States Air Force to supply 2.25 million people of Berlin with food, coal, and other necessities of life.
In 1948 and 49, the airport, which was in the U.S. sector, became the focal point of the Berlin airlift, where Allied flights brought in food and other provisions to a West Berlin under Soviet blockade. Ulrich Kirschbaum was 6 at the time and lived near the airport. He remembers standing on his balcony with his father and brother and timing the landings, one every 90 seconds.
Ich stand als kleiner Junge auf dem Tempelhofer Damm und habe gehört, da landen Flugzeuge, die werfen irgendwas runter.
Once I saw that airplanes were dropping something, I ran over there where all these people had gathered. Then I saw something white floating down. There were these little parachutes with chocolate.
Flatterte herunter. Das waren diese kleinen Parachutes. Mit Süßigkeit, mit Schokolade.
They were from the so-called candy bombers, U.S. pilots who dropped candy and gum to eager Berlin children before landing. To Kirschbaum and many others, especially older Berliners, the thought of closing an airport with this historical significance is unthinkable. He's the vice president of a citizens' initiative that's gathering signatures for a referendum on keeping the airport open. It's even got its own song, called Keep Your Hands Off Tempelhof. Yeah. Kirschbaum says it's not just nostalgia fueling the campaign, but that Tempelhof is needed to relieve congestion at the city's other airports. And even after Berlin-Brandenburg International opens in 2011, they say it makes sense to keep an inner-city airport for business travelers. But just beyond Berlin's eastern city limits, where bulldozers are leveling the ground for the new international airport, Rainer Schwarz says the economics are firmly in favor of a Tempelhof closure. The CEO of the company that manages Berlin's airport says Tempelhof loses around $14 million a year, and it's time to move on.
The people who are in favor for Tempelhof, these are the people who are discussing about the airplanes in the time after the Second World War, yeah? But we are thinking more on new Airbuses and the Dreamliner. These are the airplanes which make sense for us, and as a manager, you have to think in future terms.
While Tempelhof's closure is pretty certain, its future after that is less so. The building is a historical monument, so it can't be torn down. There's been talk of a university or library moving in, and the airfield itself could become a huge park or a housing development. Local politicians say even if the planes leave, Tempelhof won't disappear. But that's not enough for Gail Halverson, the first candy bomber. The former airlift pilot is now 87, and he insists that Tempelhof needs air traffic to keep its spirit intact. Speaking from Arizona, he says the Germans are smart and ought to be able to find a way to keep Tempelhof a functioning airport.
And Tempelhof was the thorn in the old Soviet bear's rear end. So I was shocked that there could be a talk of something that was a national shrine, I would say. I know another problem was a financial one. But at some point, in my feelings, a national shrine ought to be worth at least some bucks.
For NPR News, I'm Kyle James in Berlin.